Thank you. We're going to be wrapping everything up in this next hour, and there are two main things I want to accomplish, and that is I want to just talk to you briefly about listening in prayer, and then also I want to show you this system that I promised to show you, and then we'll wrap everything up. So are you doing okay? Can you go one more hour? I have no idea how hard those chairs are, so but you're still smiling. That's a good sign. The book of James opens with these words: "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." And he goes on to say, "Let the testing of your faith produce endurance." He goes on to say basically that trials are going to come. You can expect suffering in this life. Nobody escapes it. It just comes. He promises it. But then he says these words: "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For he who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now, if we follow with James at this, he says, go ahead, be bold about asking for wisdom. And then watch what the Father gives you. Watch what he does. In the book of Proverbs, we're basically told that wisdom and foolishness are two women. I'm sorry, ladies, that's just the word of God. And each is willing to give generously of what they have. And they're out in the street, and all you got to do is just go over there and listen to them. One will give you foolishness, and one will give you wisdom. Okay, you with me? And so here we see the Father just comes right out in James and says, ask of wisdom, and then watch me. Watch what I give you. And I think that's the perfect introduction into listening in prayer, because that's a mighty big Bible, right? And there's just so many complex things that come at you in life. And one of our favorite things to teach is how to just get alone with the Lord and just fire your questions at Him while asking for wisdom, asking for insight, asking where are you leading, asking what are you doing. Father, are you pleased with what I'm doing? Am I right where you want me to be? These kind of questions. And so listening in prayer is a lot of asking questions of Him. Oops, sorry. Let me try to get this a little better. What? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. See, I can't, because of my cancer, I can't feel anything on this side of my head. So it fell and I never knew it. I could just hear interference. Oh boy. Oh boy, this is great. We're asking questions of him because sometimes you're going to get into situations in life that are just overwhelmingly complex. And one of the key things we like to do is to recommend that if you find life just getting out of control, carve out a day. If you don't have a day, carve out a morning. If you've got a whole weekend, carve it out, carve that out, and just get alone and be with your Father. And what does that look like? Well, we recommend you take your Bible and a notebook or a pad to take notes on. And what I like to do is get out into the forest, out into the woods, if you will, just to get away from all noise, get away from the cell phone, you know. And I just love to fire my questions at God. And a fun way to do this is write your questions on a sheet of paper. And just as they come, just write them out, even detail-y type questions about life. And another thing to do with those, what's fun, is to ask, now, Father, are there certain scriptures I should be reading in light of these questions where I need help? Are there certain books I should be reading? Lead me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want to be right in the middle of where you want me to be. And you'll be surprised the neat ideas that come up when you do this.
Now, I don't want to get weird on you. Okay? You're probably thinking, too late.
You have to be careful, even as you're reading Scripture, but with certain questions in mind, you have to be careful because the ideas that pop into your head also come in on the very same channel as weird ideas or weird imaginations or vain imaginations, you know, they all come in at you at once. And so what we recommend you do is as you're praying about some of these practical things, and especially if you need help with certain questions, is pay attention to the ideas that come into your mind. Some will come immediately, sometimes later, but then test the ideas. And how do you test them? You test them in Scripture, and then test them with other Christians, with mature Christians.
Bob, what are you talking about? I'm talking about really basic things. For example, just to tell you how nitty-gritty we're getting on this, I prayed as our 30th wedding anniversary approached, I was wise enough to know that it had to be good. Right. But I had no idea what that looked like. And I also knew 30 years of marriage, I had a great propensity for, well, folly. For doing that. So I actually asked the Father, Father, what should I do for our 30th anniversary? What gift should I give my wife? What would mean the most to her? What would really bless her? And what I did was I started brainstorming all these questions on a big legal pad. What would bless Helen? And you know what I did? I slowed down to just think about Helen. And I just thought about what she likes to do, because the thought occurred to me, take her on a trip. Okay? And so I started thinking about trips I would like to take. No. Then I started thinking about, well, now what does she like to do? And I just wrote down everything I could think of what she likes to do on vacation. Make sense? And then I said, Father, this looks so neat. I really think slowing down to kind of look at my wife in my mind's eye, that I've got a sense of what to ask for. I want to ask for a gift that will give her these things, these very specific things. Now, Father, what is that gift? Because I don't know. And I just waited upon the Lord. I went off and started praying about other things. And, you know, with time, the idea came to me of what trip to take her on. And so I began to pray specifically through that trip. Father, when should we take it? Father, can I have the money to take it? Lord, can she get the time off with her company? Can I get the time off with my ministry? Father, how do I tell her that? Just asking, firing all these questions at God. And then the idea occurred to me, go to the travel agent and get a travel brochure and wrap up that travel brochure, you know? And so it was so neat. It came time to give it to her on her anniversary. And I took her to a park. We took a walk in the park, and we sat down, and I said, sweetheart, thank you for marrying me. These have been the best 30 years of my life, and this is my gift to you. And she opened it, and there was that neat travel brochure. And let me tell you, oh, the Holy Spirit cares about things even like 30th anniversary gifts. When we talk about a praying life, we mean it. We mean getting down to the nitty-gritty, what some people would call silly. I really believe, looking back, the Spirit was leading in this. I needed help. I asked for wisdom, and He gave it to me. Now, key to that really is checking it out with the Word of God. And there was nothing in the Word of God against taking this trip. And then checking it out with other Christians. I went and asked them, hey, what would you think? You think Helen would like this trip? You know her very well. And I got some attaboys. Yeah, attaboy. Good. You know, so that's just one example. They can be lofty, very important questions you fire at God. They can be even the mundane. It can be all of life because He's involved in all of them. So the Word and other believers, your pastors are a great thing. Now, as you get alone and pray and ask these questions of your Father, what kinds of things does the Spirit love to lead us toward? One is wisdom, as I shared, but also love. Watch as you pray for great ideas on how to love people, even practical ideas to come to you on how to love people. The Spirit loves to lead us in loving. Repentance is a biggie. The Spirit loves to move toward us in repentance. And we're going to show you the prayer card system in a couple of minutes. And what's neat about these prayer cards is, while you're praying for others, great ideas are going to come to your mind on areas where you need to repent. And watch for the Holy Spirit to actually help you with repentance, with good, practical ideas on how to repent, especially of some of your besetting sins. Are those sins that have a tendency to discourage you and defeat you? Watch for the Spirit to lead you in repentance. And the next, more prayer. You know what you're going to find is the more you enter into a relationship with your Father, the more joy you have in that. And the more joy you have in that, the more you want it. The more prayer. You begin to open up whole new areas of your life in prayer. Does that make sense? And you really do begin relating on multi-levels with your Father. Okay? And then, So let's get into the nitty-gritty of this. And by the way, just once again, all of this is in the book, A Praying Life. All of this material. I kind of ran fast through Lesson 7, listening to your Father in prayer, but that's only because I want to wrap this up and I want to get you into the practical. Is that okay? That's good. I want to be conscious of our time. So all of this is in the book back here. Now, in putting the Word to work, let me just ask you this. How many of you use a written calendar to keep you on track with appointments and daily activity? Can I see everybody. Oh, thank you. Let me ask you, how many of you don't use one? And this includes, oh, wow, 2, 3, 4? You have wonderful spouses. And this includes iPhones, Google Calendar, this is everything. Why do you keep a written record? And you say, oh, that's easy, Bob. I'll forget otherwise. And the older I get, the better my forgetter works. And what happens when we forget? Oh, it gets embarrassing. Or, oh, it gets expensive. Sure, you can take the next flight. It'll only be 2,000 more Canadian dollars. Or sure, you can reschedule that doctor's appointment. It'll be a year from now. I mean, we take life seriously enough where we keep some kind of written record, right? Okay, now I'm going to treat you like seventh graders. I want you to bow your heads, everybody, like you're in prayer. You don't have to pray. I just don't want you looking. There's still 30% of you looking. So bow your heads, everybody. Oh, don't you hate it? Isn't this Romans 7? Coming alive? Some of you are still looking. Do you not understand French? Now, with your heads bowed, can I see a show of hands? How many of you use some kind of written prayer system? A diary, a journal, or something, and keep them way up. Okay, thank you. Put your hands down. And you can look up.
Amen.
You know, that's really pretty good. There were about 60 of you who used some kind of written prayer system. That is much higher than what we normally find. We normally find around 8 to 10% in our audiences. So, wow, you're the cream of the crop. Okay. So I want to show you a system we use at See Jesus, because prayer stories develop, and if you're not careful, you'll enter a prayer story and you'll either be asleep at the wheel or not paying attention when the Father develops the story and you just miss it. Or you forgot what you prayed, and then you really miss it. Or, you go to pray about something, and you can't remember where you are in the story. And we like to use these fancy, high-tech things called prayer cards. These little index cards. Let me see if I can get this to... Can you see this? Not very well. Okay. Is that a little better? How about in the back? Not even the front. Oh, it's over here. Oh, good. Oh, yes. Oh, maybe. Now, what you see here is a real live prayer card from our boss and the author of the book and the creator of the seminar, Paul Miller. And this is Paul praying for his daughter, Kim. Now, Kim is highly disabled. She is severely autistic and will always be dependent. She's now in her early 30s. And so this is a highly disabled person. But Paul is praying for her. Now, I'll ask, Yannick, would you come up for a second? What are some of the things you see happening in Paul's life with his relationship with his disabled daughter that he is praying about? I mean, this prayer card speaks volumes. What strikes you about this prayer card? And I'd love to have you respond to
yeah. My response?
Yes. Well, I'd love
people
to
from the
or people from the audience.
Would okay, you? Okay. Alors, qu'est-ce que vous voyez en lisant cette carte? Maybe I should read the card.
Okay. Can you read it? Thank you.
Okay. Alors, je vous lis la carte, d'accord? Page 244, ceux qui sont dans le livre en français. Le Dieu de toute grâce qui, en Christ, vous a appelé à sa gloire éternelle après que vous aurez souffert un peu de temps, vous formera lui-même, vous affermira, vous fortifiera, vous rendra inébranlable. 1 Pierre 5:10. Entre guillemets, avec patience, Éphésiens 4:2. Ouvrez les guillemets, bien-aimé, je souhaite que tu prospères à tous égards et que tu sois en bonne santé comme prospère ton âme. 3 Jean 2. Alors, on a quelques mots ici, souris d'ordinateur, faire le ménage, logiciel, déjeuner, conduite en public, cheval, emploi, 2 points, annonceuse, bibliothèque, saisie de données. Could you ask your question again?
Yes. What strikes you about this prayer card?
Alors, qu'est-ce qui vous frappe de cette carte? Qu'est-ce que vous remarquez? Toujours en levant la main. Toujours en levant la main, s'il vous plaît, avec les micros.
There's a response of Bible verses?
Or? Yeah. The fact that he uses Bible verses, les versets bibliques pour lui encourager à mettre à point de quoi prier. Bible verses to kind of direct him.
Yes, scripture. He's praying scripture in Kim's life.
Il prie la parole de Dieu. Il prie à partir de la parole de Dieu.
What else? Over this side with Julie.
Je vois les versets bibliques qui sont là comme des promesses que Dieu donne et le Père se sert de ces promesses pour s'adresser à Dieu en sachant que comme c'est Dieu qui promet, il va accomplir.
I see those Bible verses as promises from God and the Father is using those verses as a way to pray for her daughter.
Yes.
His daughter.
Yes. Very good. Yes.
Le verset parle de choses extrêmement spirituelles. Ensuite, il y a des choses extrêmement pratiques et matérielles qui semblent... C'est assez intéressant le contraste entre le verset et puis les mots qu'il y a ensuite.
I see a contrast between some... The verses are very spiritual and the words under it are pretty practical, nitty-gritty. So I see a contrast there and I find that interesting.
Yes, good. And we'll explain that. Thank you.
On va expliquer cela, merci.
Yes.
I see something that's not there.
Je vois quelque chose qui n'y est pas.
Like interceding for her well-being, or for maybe her recovery, if at all possible.
Alors je ne vois pas de miracles. Je ne vois pas de requête pour sa santé.
You know what I mean.
Ou pour qu'elle puisse se rétablir si Dieu voulait faire un miracle.
Excuse-moi.
Yes, he's actually, now, let me set a little bit of context here. I'm glad you brought that up.
Laissez-moi vous donner un peu le contexte de cette requête.
One of the big challenges in the Miller household,
l'un des grands défis dans la famille Miller,
was each of the family members were praying that Kim would learn how to speak.
Alors toute la famille était dans la prière pour demander à Dieu de permettre à Kim de pouvoir parler de manière intelligible.
And it was impossible.
Et cela était impossible.
But part of this prayer story is that while all of this was being prayed for, there was a new computer technology that was being developed.
Alors une partie de l'histoire de cette requête de prière, c'est qu'alors que toute la famille priait, une nouvelle technologie par ordinateur a été mise à jour.
That would enable people like Kim to be able to speak through a speech computer.
Qui permettrait à une personne comme Kim de pouvoir justement s'exprimer et communiquer à l'aide d'un clavier et d'un ordinateur.
That neat? And so, where did this prayer story go? It went to Paul running into someone who knew about this technology.
Alors, l'histoire de cette requête de prière, c'est a amené Paul à rencontrer quelqu'un qui connaissait cette technologie.
And Paul said, "Oh, really? Oh, I need to look into this."
Et alors Paul s'est intéressé justement à cette ressource.
And all of this was being developed while Paul was praying for her to be able to learn to use this new speech computer.
Alors cette requête de prière justement illustre toute cette période où Kimberly était en train d'apprendre à maîtriser cette ressource informatique.
And that led him and his wife to go to a special camp with Kim where they learned how to use the computer together.
Les Miller se rendirent donc à un camp spécial avec Kim pour pouvoir apprendre à utiliser cette technologie.
You with me? Isn't that neat? And guess what happened? Out came this very bright child who had been heretofore and trapped inside a disability.
Imaginez Ceci a révélé un enfant qui était très brillant, mais qui ne pouvait pas l'exprimer parce qu'elle était limitée par son handicap.
And now, through her speech computer, you can't shut Kimberly up.
Et maintenant, grâce à son appareil, vous ne pouvez la faire taire.
Now, looking at this, what do you think was Paul's temptation in praying for his highly disabled child?
Alors, à la lumière de tout cela, qu'est-ce que vous voyez, vous entrevoyez comme tentation pour Paul alors qu'il priait pour sa fille handicapée?
What do you think was the temptation?
Quelles étaient les tentations ou la tentation? En levant la main, s'il vous plaît.
The temptation to request complete healing.
La tentation de demander une guérison complète.
What struck me about the request there is that they're very simple, they're very basic, and they're very day to day, they're very down to earth and very.
Alors, ce qui me frappe, c'est que les requêtes sont très terre à terre, très pratico-pratiques.
Yes, they're very basic, and here you have a child, and we're told it's just impossible to speak.
Alors, elles sont très simples, mais vous avez cet enfant de qui l'on a dit qu'elle ne pourrait jamais communiquer.
And yet, he's praying, and so are each member of the family. They're praying that she'll be able to speak.
Et pourtant, toute la famille est en train de demander à Dieu de lui permettre de communiquer.
Even though it was impossible anatomically.
Bien que cela était impossible physiquement.
You know, God took the story towards a speech computer. Amen.
Alors, dans cette histoire de cette requête, Dieu a dirigé vers une ressource technologique.
And sometimes it's really fun now to let Kim pray over a meal.
Alors maintenant, c'est intéressant des fois de laisser justement Kim avec son appareil prier pour un repas.
She's what, 31 years old.
Elle a 31 ans.
And she'll just thank God for Disney.
Et elle va remercier Dieu tout simplement pour Disney.
Or Halloween.
Ou pour l'Halloween.
You know, but out is this very vibrant 31-year-old, just coming. Now she's a child, but out it comes.
Alors, elle est toujours un enfant, mais on la voit maintenant s'épanouir et ressortir.
You see, the temptation would have been to just shut down. Oh, it's impossible.
Alors, la tentation était de se retirer, de se fermer à cette requête-là, de ne pas y croire.
Oh, we're in over our heads.
Nous n'y arriverons jamais.
And Paul just heads right at it. He just runs right at the story with a bold ask.
Alors au contraire, Paul a osé adresser une requête impossible.
Isn't that neat?
Est-ce que c'est pas merveilleux?
And by the way, the story is still underway because all of this led to the development of a discipleship curriculum for the highly disabled.
Alors cette histoire, l'histoire de cette requête n'est pas terminée puisque tout ceci a conduit au développement d'un manuel de formation de disciples pour des personnes handicapées.
The highly autistic.
Pour des personnes autistes.
And we found in most churches, people are very nice to autistic children.
Nous avons observé que dans la majorité des églises, les gens sont très gentils envers les personnes autistes.
You know, and they're welcoming of families with autistic children in
them. Ils accueillent ces familles.
But we don't know what to do as a church.
Mais nous ne savons que faire concrètement envers elles comme église.
Often there's no discipleship.
Il n'y a pas de formation de disciples.
For the autistic.
Pour des personnes autistes.
And actually, this prayer card just grew. To where we developed a whole curriculum for the autistic. Isn't that neat?
Voyez-vous, l'histoire de cette requête a conduit jusqu'au développement d'un curriculum de formation de disciples pour des personnes semblables.
So do you see Paul is in over his head?
Alors Paul est complètement dépassé par le besoin de son enfant.
And yet he's still asking.
Mais il continue à demander.
And he's asking very basic, very specific questions.
Ces requêtes sont très concrètes et spécifiques.
Do you see the horse?
Vous voyez le cheval qui est inscrit là?
Okay. Kim wanted a horse.
Kim désirait avoir un cheval.
And Paul doesn't want a horse.
Paul ne désirait pas avoir de cheval.
And Kim can't take care of a horse.
Kim n'est pas en mesure évidemment de prendre soin de cet animal.
But instead of letting the whole thing die, he adds it to the part of the prayer story.
Alors plutôt que de renoncer à cette requête-là, il l'inscrit sur la requête, sur le carnet de prière.
You see what I'm saying?
Vous voyez ce que je veux dire?
Yeah. What else strikes you about the card?
Qu'est-ce que vous observez d'autre sur cette carte?
Julie, this gentleman here. Yeah.
Qui voit le futur, il prie même pour son emploi. Il prie pour qu'elle puisse soit être annonceuse, soit bibliothécaire, soit même des saisies de données. Donc, je vois qu'il voit vraiment pour le futur. Là.
He's dreaming of her future and praying for a future job.
Yes, he's thinking big. And what this led to in Kim was praying not just for a job, even though he mentions it here. It led to him praying about her discovering her calling.
Alors, il rêve grand pour sa fille et plutôt que simplement de prier pour un emploi, il prie plus précisément pour que Dieu lui révèle son appel à elle pour sa vie.
That neat? And what's really fun is when we do a praying life seminar and Kim gets up and teaches through the speech computer.
Alors c'est intéressant, parfois il nous arrive de pouvoir donner le séminaire et avoir Kimberly qui vient et qui enseigne certaines parties avec son appareil adapté.
We don't do it often.
On le fait pas souvent.
You never know what's going to come out.
Parce qu'on ne sait jamais ce que Kimberly va dire.
Okay. Thank you. Are you getting the flow of how this works? What you see here is Paul is praying, and as he prays, he is slowing down to focus on Kim. And the first step of loving someone is just looking. It's just focusing on them. He's not praying a list. He's praying for a real person in a real context. Does that make sense? And guess what's happening in his heart as he prays for Kim? He slows down. He watches her. He prays where he's in over his head. He prays for help. He prays without any sense of limits. He prays big things. And he's also drawn to love Kim more deeply. Amen? So let me show you this is another one. I'll just explain what this is. This is Paul writing a book on Jesus. And he's just simply firing questions. How to do it with Anita? How much? When do I work the time in to redo chapter 1? When do I redo chapters 2 and 3? When to pursue a publisher? How to balance writing with all my other work? Which publisher? When do I have time to learn to write a book? And then he prayed that Nav Press, which is the publisher of the book, eventually would say yes. And actually, that is this book right here that Jeff showed you, Love Walked Among Us. Okay, so when Paul went to write the book, he knew he was in over his head. And so he just fired these very practical questions at the Father. Now, where we go with... I am so sorry, what am I doing wrong? Is it off again? See, I can't feel anything. Oh, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. See, I can't feel in my ear. I won't be able to feel on my ear until the day of the resurrection. So, can we all get together that day and you'll go, "Hey, Bob, how's the ear feel?" Oop. Now what am I doing? Okay. This is a basic pattern that we have for prayer cards. Start with a name. This can be the person you're praying for in this case. A scripture reference or the scripture in concise form. Have a place for the date and a place for the item or the ask, if you will. And then you can put today's date here. And then what you're asking. Yes, sir. Oh, we're going to change the Bible.
good. Thank you.
Oh, this is so much fun. Yeah.
It's really fun because I can't feel anything on this side of my face. Some nerves were severed. And so I tell people, if you get mad at me and you want to slap me, would you slap me on this side? You know? And, I mean, you'll think I'm Superman. Another thing that's really fun is I can't taste anything on this side of my mouth. So if you invite me over to your house for dinner and I don't like what you're serving, no problem. I just shoot it over here. I told you God was giving me a gift. Well, take your cards, or you're welcome to use your book that Jessica made for you. You're welcome to use either format.
Uh-oh. We're going to do this again.
Okay, good. How's that?
We're back.
But try this format. Now, earlier in the day, I had you do an exercise. I did the quadrant on the page where we had a key relationship in the upper left, money, work, and a difficult person. That you're actually beginning a prayer card with that. So, hey, you're already halfway there. So take out those sheets of paper in your book and just create a prayer card. Now, what happens if you're going to pray about a key person in your life and you're not sure what scripture to pray? Ask the Holy Spirit. And He will lead you, Jesus said, into what I have taught you, into what I have said. And if you need more help asking of the Spirit, look in almost the middle of your booklet, and you'll see text biblique. Those are some real live scripture references that are categorized for you. And I would just, think about where your heart really is and take a look and read some of those passages and see if one doesn't strike you as being right on in praying related to that prayer card. Then date it. Today's date is the...
what?
It's the 17th. And you want to just date it. 17 November. And then put down just a short word, phrase, fragment that will jog your memory of what you're asking for. There's no room here to journal. This is not a journal. This is a quick snapshot of the story. Why don't you start these? So everybody start on four prayer cards, those four categories. If you want to go to a different one, that's fine. But that'll get you started, and I'm going to give you some time to do this. Remember, ask as a child of your Father. If something's bugging you, put that down. If something's worrying you, if you long for something in this person's life or this category, put that down and just slip into prayer as you're praying, as you're doing this. Now, feel free to keep working, but I'm going to just do some wrapping up. Please, feel free to keep working if you like. How many of you, one of those categories is a pretty bleak situation? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, I've got something where, Bob, I am so far in over my head. that it's actually very painful to pray through this category. Okay, good. That's a lot of us. It's very normal in life. What I want to encourage you to do is pray the hope reality chart. Be bold in what you hope. Be bold in what you ask. But be honest in what you see with your Father. And if you'll just notate that on your prayer card, this is what I see happening, and this is what I long to have happen. Okay? Now, how many of you, while you were doing that exercise, again, thought of areas where you need to change? Can I see a show of hands? Repentance? Yeah, only three of us? No, I'm kidding. That's quite a big percentage in the audience. What you'll find happening is as you've slowed down to think about that person, and your heart is very alive, you're praying like a child of your Father, you're being honest, you're sharing what you long for, but you also see sin in your own heart, what you can do is then create a repentance card. Okay, that can be a new prayer story. And what does repentance praying look like? Well, back on the text biblique, you notice how many of these topics are repentance? I mean, they're a lot. The Spirit loves leading us into repentance. Only now it's not so much shame and guilt. It's a, oh yeah, oh neat, I can pray about that weakness in my heart. Or I can pray about that lack of faith. Or I can pray about that habitual sin and create a whole prayer card on it. Again, be honest with your Father. Tell Him how you really feel about it. Tell Him what you long for. We do prayer cards. This is a stack that I brought with me. And about, you know, it's not uncommon for a half to two-thirds of these to be repentance praying. Isn't that fun? You're not laughing. No, trust me, it really gets to be neat. He begins to move in your own life and your own heart, even though you're praying honestly for others. Okay? Now watch for some wild things to happen, folks. Oh, this is not boring. Let me tell you what happened to me as a dad. Do I have time? Yeah, you're doing good? I've got 14 minutes. You all right? Okay. My son, Ben, when he started to learn how to drive, I began to get suspicious. I just had a hunch deep in my heart that he was not telling me the truth about where he was going and who he was with. It was just a father's hunch. And I've learned since then, always go with your father's hunch. So I began to pray. Ben would say, I'm going over to this friend's house, and I'm going to be with him, and we're going to watch movies or something. And what I would do is I had no evidence that he wasn't going where he said. So I would go up into my bedroom and I would slip into prayer. And what I prayed was this, very simple, very childlike, very dependent praying. Father, I pray if Ben is not going where he says he's going, and I pray that if he's lying to me, he will get caught. And Father, I pray you come down hard on him. I pray you'll really crack him. And okay, you with me? And then it happened. God gave me exactly what I wanted. He got busted. And one night after court, the judge was very nice to him. And on the way home, Helen, Ben, and I stopped off to get a hamburger on the way home. And while we were waiting for the food to come to the table, Ben said, goodness, I can't get away with anything. My friends all seem to get away with capital crime. And I get caught every time. And I started giggling like you're doing now. And Ben looked up at me and said, "Dad, what are you laughing at?" And I said, "Son, your problem is you've got a dad praying against you." This is exactly what I asked from my father. You've got to understand, this isn't just you doing something and getting away with it. You're dealing with your dad and with Almighty God. And it's going to remain this way. Because I don't want to see you leave me and join the camp of my sworn enemy. Let me tell you, he is one mean taskmaster. And I'm praying you feel the pain of sin quickly. And oh, Ben just hated me for that. And I don't care. This is war. And it's war for the soul of my son. Amen? Men, rise up and pray boldly for each of your children. Don't let the enemy just walk around your house. Amen? But do it through prayer and watch what the Father does. And by the way, you know what happened? The night before my son got married, he stood up and told 200 people that he wanted to be just like his dad. You're going to feel some pain and sorrow as you go through the story, but that's not the end of the story. Watch for what your father does. Amen? Isn't this fun? There's that word again. Okay, let me talk to you just briefly about prayer work, doing your work through prayer. You've got jobs, you have ministries, you have callings in life to fulfill. You're going to be tempted to think, "I don't have time to pray." I want to encourage you to make time with your Father part of your work. Now, it might look like you're wasting time, but believe me, whenever you invite the God of the universe into your work problems, you're not wasting time. There's a story of J.O. Frazier, who was one of the early missionaries with China Inland Mission right after World War I, and he had a real burden for the Lisu people in China, which is a very rocky, mountainous region. And he raised the money. God blessed him by raising the money, and he moved to the region. And at first, he saw a flurry of conversions as a missionary, and he was excited. But pretty soon, everything just kind of died. And he got very discouraged with time and decided to write a letter asking if his supervisor at China Inland Mission would reassign him, would pull him out of this part of China and Burma, and send him to another place. You know, I mean, hope was high, but reality was bad, just bad. And the thought occurred to him before he sent the letter to do what the Apostle Paul did, which was recruit people to pray for him. And he made this part of his work. Be surprised how easy it is, even in ministry, to not pray and just hop in and try to do it out of your own gifts and your own skills. And so he wrote back home, and he said, "Okay, would you, group of friends, would you pray for the village of Melting Pot? And would you, group of friends, pray for the village of Pleasant Valley?" These are obviously names he had for Chinese village. "And would you pray?" And he basically recruited people to pray geographically for his work. Still nothing happened, and he was still tempted to send in the letter asking to be reassigned. But then he decided, "You know what? I'm going to make one last swing through the territory, through the field of harvest." He had no passion left. He was burned out. But he went to the very first village. I believe it was the village of Melting Pot.
And he preached Christ with all the passion of a brick. You don't want to come to Christ, do you? I mean, he put nothing into it. And that night, there were a couple of families who came to the door of the host family where he was staying, and they said, we want to come to Christ, basically. They said it in their own way, but we want what you have to offer. He didn't even get out of his seat. He said, oh, tell them through the doorway, they'll have to give up every idol. He says you'll have to give up every idol. They said, okay. Well, finally, he could think of no more excuses, so they invited him in, and he led them to Christ. Went to the next village. Same thing happened. The next village. Before it was over, his swing through the territory, he had a couple hundred conversions that he had to go disciple. What was the difference? He made prayer his work, and he recruited friends to pray. Now, folks, it is really easy to even do ministry without prayer. But let me encourage you, especially those of you who are in leadership and ministry, make prayer your work. You know, don't even dive into things until you have prayed thoroughly. Stop your elder meetings and pray constantly. Pastors, do a prayer card on every person in your congregation, every family. And just, yeah, and go before the Lord with them. Now, let me tell you a way to do this. A friend of mine in the United States is a pastor, and he went through the seminar, and the next day he went and he emailed every family, every person in his church. And he said this, I want to learn how to do work by praying for you. Can you send me what you want on your prayer card, and I'll begin to pray for you? Guess what happened? He called me. Bob, what do I do? I had no idea that these certain families were in so much trouble. Or I thought this guy was really strong and mature, and I found out he's struggling with a great need. Or we've got to stop everything and begin to do it through prayer. Amen? And watch what happens in your church. See what the Father does as you go. Oh, and by the way, J.O. Frazier, there are now over 200,000 Christians in that part of China. Isn't that neat? Tempted to throw in the towel, tempted to quit because he was in over his head. What made the difference? Recruiting people to pray. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think and pray about two friends or two people you can ask to pray for you. And in this, they've got to be close friends. They've got to be people who really love you. Because the agreement will be, I can interrupt you at any time and ask for prayer, and you'll do it. Unless you're under anesthesia, you'll do it. This is where I love where texting comes in. Texting is wonderful when it comes to asking for prayer from the two people. It's a triad, so if one is discouraged, you have someone else to go to. And one of the reasons your military, the Canadian Army, is so powerful is this. You train your soldiers when they get into a tough situation to fight hard and hold their own, but also to call in air support. And that air support is often overwhelming to the enemy. When you call in your triad to pray for you, you're calling in your air support. Amen? Folks, it gets wild. I've been going through my day out praying or thinking about things, and my friend will come to mind, and I'll pray for him, and I'll stop and just text him real quick. Hey, Sam, Sam's not his name, but hey, Sam, I just prayed for you. I just want you to know I felt led to pray for you, and I stopped and prayed for you.
Guess what you're going to see come back? You're going to go, wow. My friend would say, hey, you have no idea. I was just in the middle of sexual temptation. Or I was just struggling with my faith. Your timing is impeccable. And it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? We really can love each other to the very end through prayer. So prayer in your work set, prayer is part of your work. I want to just touch quickly on thanking God in prayer. I've got 2 minutes. Are you okay? Have whole sections in your prayer card. Okay, hang on. Hey, if I go over by two, is that okay? Yeah, 2 minutes? Okay, good. I want to just show you a thanking God card. This is a thanking God card for my wife, Helen. You want to have a card on key relationships in your life where you don't go and complain about them, but you thank God for them. And this is her. This is Helen. The scripture I'm praying is Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down. And what I'm doing is I'm just slowing down to think about her, and I'm just thinking about all the ways she is God's perfect gift to me, okay? Her heart of mercy, my wife is a hospice nurse, so she spends all day, every day with dying people and their families. And you just have to be wired for that. She's just wonderful, her heart of mercy. She's content. She doesn't put a lot of pressure on me to buy her expensive things. Folks, that's a gift when you're a missionary. That's a gift and a why. She's supportive of my work. You know, she's praying for me today. Isn't that neat? She lets me go out of town and out of the country and come to places like this. And she's just really, she's beautiful. She's desirable. You know, she loves our kids. Paul Miller prays that, the shampoo doesn't just appear in the shower. His wife thinks about that, you know? And you're just having time to thank God. Now, what does a thanking God prayer card do for you? It just brings sanity into real relationships. Amen? So this week on Wednesday, if she calls up and says, sweetheart, I just thought of something I can do for one of my patients. I'm not required by law or by company policy. I just thought of a way I could help this dying man be a little more comfortable. I'm going to be a little late before I come home. If I don't have the thank God card going, what's my temptation? What about me? It's to complain. It's to whine. But because I've been going before the Father and thanking Him for the gift of her, that comes to mind when she says, I'm going to be late. I'm going to go give mercy to this gentleman. And that's when, you know, you go, oh, sweetheart, I love that about you. Oh, please go see to him and give him the mercy of Christ. And when you get home, I'll have dinner and soft jazz going. Amen? Gentlemen, that's free also. Just write that down. Okay. And then a quick word about repentance and intercessory praying. You want to have cards in your deck just for people who are suffering, people who are in need, people who are going through really bad relationships. Have a prayer card not only on your spouse, but each of your kids. Have one on key missionaries. I want to encourage you, have a prayer card on non-Christians, people you meet, people you're in a small group with. And, you know, just have fun with these cards. Take them with you in the morning. Take them on a walk. If the weather is nice, it's a great way. Your cards will kind of become your friends. And as you see the story developing, you've got a place to make a quick note of how the story is developing. One of the things I found is a story can develop through pastor's sermon. And so I love to take a card, my cards with me to church, and while he's preaching the text, I'll go, oh, hey, what you just said fits right into a prayer story. And you got a card so you can make a quick note on it, you see? Or if you see an answer, then at some point you may need to retire the card because you're going to get a lot of neat prayer stories going. Don't throw the card away. Put it in a shoebox. And every so often, go get out the old prayer stories and look through them, and you'll see how the Lord has been ministering to you down through the years. Your confidence will go up. Your joy levels will go up. But as you pray, keep in mind your sworn enemy wants to discourage you from praying. If you get overwhelmed with life, and you quit praying, don't worry about it. Just start again. Okay? Don't spend a lot of time feeling shame. And just hop back into those prayer stories. And then also watch for this. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will come at you as you take prayer seriously, and he will begin to try to shame you from those besetting habitual sins of yours. Don't let him win the day. Just create a prayer card on those habitual besetting sins. Satan, you're right. I do have a critical spirit. Satan, you're right. I do lack gratitude. I'm going to pray about it. You will frustrate him to no end. You'll be in over, you know. Oh, listen. Thank you for taking this seriously. And I hope this has been a wonderful day for you. If you need help, we're available as long as somebody can translate it into English. Just come to apraying life@cjesus.net. If you have a question, if you want prayer, if you have a comment, if you have a struggle, we are here for you. Our whole lives are given to just see the church learn to pray and do life through prayer. And we have absolutely loved being part of your day today. May I pray for you?